drop off a toy at the following locations. There really is no graceful segue out of that. Hello! That's a whole lot better than the song I was going to start the show with. Good suggestion, Sarah.
Well, you're flying today.
Yeah, baby.
I'm going to plague you with that song.
Thank you. You can get it as a ringtone now. I went to the official Blood Rock MySpace page. They're totally like, get our new ringtone. And it's all just... And it's all like the bad polyphonic ring. All right, hello. It's 3 minutes and 13 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the lushly appointed and moist, blood-soaked studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to be part of our radio program today for whatever misguided reason, by God, you can do it. It's 503-733-2970. I was just saying during that song, I wish I could contrive some sort of a way to have that playing out loud, like as I was boarding the plane tonight.
Oh, you'd be removed.
Oh, but it's a big pop single from yesteryear. Sandwich it right between like Hanson and a John Denver song.
That's like when I was getting ready to fly to Chicago and they had this huge special on 9/11.
Yeah.
When I was waiting to board the plane.
On an airport show.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. And they kept showing him crashing into the towers. I'm like, oh, this is really helping my skills.
As you're kneeling in the aisle wearing your burqa.
The passengers didn't know they were headed for fiery doom. To them, you would think that they would know because that's CNN in the airports. That's its own network. It's a network called CNN Airport. You would think they would know not to have it. They thought it was a flight like any other. Little did they know, their destiny lay in pieces. You know, and you're like getting on the plane. Hello. All right.
And then I was on a plane once and they played that movie about the end of the world where Jake Gyllenhaal gets in a plane crash. I don't know what it is with the flights I take.
It's Donnie Darko?
No, not Donnie Darko. It's
The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought they edited all of those things out.
Oh, no.
That's got to be a good feeling. 30,000 feet above the earth and you're watching in Technicolor glory as a plane explodes into pieces.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's 5 minutes after 11. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You totally nailed it, though. That one of those backpacks that has the speaker in the back, so I can just do, so I can be sharing my songs with my brethren and sistren. Just the idea of, because I see everything in my head as being a bad movie or a sitcom. It's just a camera panning by, and it's like there's an old woman getting on the plane, and like a Girl Scout, and a nun, and like a Marine, and then there's me and my backpack blaring, "Oh God, teach me how to die," as I'm giving my boarding pass to the guy. Oh, it's gonna be the best flight ever. How could it help but be the best flight ever? It ends in Provo. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that. It's 503-733. I really did ponder learning Arabic just for this flight, though. Because, you know, I'm obsessed with things that cause trouble but aren't technically actionable.
I'm not a terrorist shirt.
Like my shirt that says I am not a terrorist, which Lara specifically in our phone call as it forbade me to wear. I hadn't even mentioned it. I haven't brought it up. I discussed it, but she cut me off at the pass. She shirt blocked me.
You mentioned
it
enough that everybody in your life knows about your dream to wear the I am not a terrorist shirt.
I don't even know who would make it. John would probably make it. All right. I'm looking in your direction, porn star John. Anyway, so I'd have to wear it under something else, though, and sort of do a fake out. Like, she would probably have me, like, she'd have somebody check me before I left the house. But the idea of just learning several jaunty greetings in Arabic that I could share with the flight staff as they were coming by and asking me if I want, like, a Schweppes tonic water. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. You can engage with us electronically today if you'd like. Electronically, just rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Well, before we talk about my trip to Provo, my hey-hey, my whatever, let's talk about our good friend Aaron.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Yeah. Geek Middle Jay! Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up with... You sound defeated today.
Well, you know, I'm trying to make sure my phone's at the balanced length or whatever.
Yeah, that was just mean yesterday.
He sounds
Rick.
Better today,
he does
though.
Sound better.
See, Sarah's...
Well, you know, what can you do?
It sounded as though you were trying to eat the phone. I'm sorry?
Nothing. Your flight does end in Provo and not somewhere else.
You're hoping it ends at the Provo airport and not in a field somewhere?
You have to cross the Rockies.
Oh, there's soccer players everywhere! okay.
I first
Oh, you should play Rocky Mountain High, too.
I should just have a whole series of plane crash songs that I can hum.
Just turn on your headphones too loud so that everyone around you can hear.
Oh, God, keeps the hell today. But it was a hit single, sort of. I could make the argument that I was just playing that because I'm a big fan of Blood Rock.
You are a rock DJ also. You could say that.
That's true.
For a show.
My life is about music, and music is my life. All right.
If you can't live without music, what's the point of living at all?
It's true. I should just sing Peggy Sue. There we go. Hey, the Charlie Daniels Christmas show is coming to town. Oh, fantastic. We should go and heckle. Enjoy. And pay tribute to. Boy, that guy just gets fatter and
he is the whitest man in America.
The thing is about Charlie Daniels, he's so white, but his face is so red. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he's an alcoholic. I don't presume to know those sorts of things. I'm sure he walks hand in hand with the Lord. And he's one of the chosen people of whatever it is that's chosen. I'm sure he's a man who walks hand in hand with Christ. I'm saying though, he's got the biggest gin blossoms on his face though. It's really like he had big sections of W.C. Fields' of skin just graft onto his forehead and cheeks. All right. Well, in any event.
Ew.
No, your phone sounds much better today. I wasn't trying to give you any guff about it. It did sound as though you were trying to swallow the phone sometimes when you were...
Well, that's all right.
When you were...
What are you going to do?
That's the spirit. That's the that's the attitude that keeps this radio station right at the top of everybody's presets. All right. Here's what we got today. We have worst/best... criminal excuse ever. The worst and best excuse given by a criminal for anything ever, anywhere. We will answer the magical question, exactly how fat is Rick Emerson? What is the single most irritating toy you could give a small child? What else? Lindsay Lohan persists in being a scabrous whore. Perez Hilton is being sued, which makes all of us really happy.
Yay!
What else? And Lisa Goddard will join us today, and Ed McCarthy will give the exact estimates of me dying in a plane crash between here and Utah later on tonight. There we go. That's what we got, my friend.
Maybe you can ask Lisa how fat you are.
Thank you. I don't think, no, Lisa, what did Lisa Goddard call me? A sensitive acoustic alt rocker something? She looked at the webpage. It was some completely inaccurate description that I would, however, take over the real description of me. She went, because we have Lisa Goddard on that time. And by the way, I'd like to note that I spent about 10 minutes this morning editing down that fanfare for the common man so it would have maximum punch, so we could get right to the hook, so it would have the appropriate power to it. We brought on Bob Noodles Costantini today, who's not going to grace us with his presence. He's not even going to bother to be there today, so it's okay. All my work for naught.
I'm still not on Team Bob. I don't know about him.
When you say you're not on Team Bob, what do you mean?
I don't know. He's just getting more and more negative. I'm very happy we have Lisa today.
I don't believe that Bob is negative. I think that Bob is... I don't think so. I think that Bob Costantini is amused by us, but doesn't quite know how to respond to us. I don't...
I'm with Sarah. I don't think Bob is good for the company.
Thank you. See, Rick, I think you're just trying, and really, it's not working. You need to break up with Bob.
Yeah. I'm ending with Bob. Do it like a... treat it like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
As opposed to pulling one hair out every day, you just tear the Band-Aid right off?
That's right. Just get it done with.
I believe that there is good in Bob.
The shower, so, you know, warm and wet, and just rip it off quickly.
Okay. I believe that there is good in Bob. I believe there is good entertainment that lurks within Bob Costantini, and I will find... You know what,
how
Bob Costantini...
How long do we have to try to get it out of him?
Here's the thing about Bob Costantini. Bob Costantini is like a dried-up sponge.
Why do you love him so much when he doesn't love you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they can't all be Lisa. They can't all be Jim Roop. I'm just... Bob's is a dry wit. That's the thing about... is there something... Are you being tracked by NORAD?
Yeah, I've been, well, that's what happens if you talk to Kali too much. You get tagged also.
All right. I think here's the thing with Bob Costantini. You know what Bob Costantini is like? He's like one of those little sponge toys that they sell you in a capsule and you drop it in hot water and then suddenly it inflates and there's a stegosaurus. That's what Bob Costantini is. He's the inflatable, locked inside a gelatin capsule sponge stegosaurus of news, sort of. And so it's just, so I am the hot water that has to penetrate the gelatin capsule.
So that Bob can expand within you?
Yes.
Or is it then to be, you know, kicked out and left to dry out on the counter and flush later on?
So that Bob can expand within me.
Yes.
So that Bob can grow larger within me, the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, that's
let me engorge your spiky tail.
See, that's too far.
Oh.
All right. I think that's what we've got. I don't even remember what I teased, but that's what it is today.
Yeah.
Oh, and we'll settle this this business about the... where do you come down on the big do I or do I not interview the guy who sang Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer question?
I didn't think he sang it. I thought Ray Stevens sang it.
No, Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens sang The Streak.
The Streak, yeah.
What the hell is that other song?
Everything is beautiful.
Everything is beautiful. He sang that.
With
he did not.
In the beginning of it.
I think you should interview him, but make it really serious.
Treat it as though it's a great masterwork of.
Yeah, don't play it for laughs at all. And see if you can make him mad and hang up on you.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, what do I care if Dr. Elmo's mad at me? Like, why? I have no stake in being Elmo's pal. But this, I discovered yesterday while we were talking about this that I, Rick Everett, there are things I actually want to know about this. So we'll, I don't know. We'll do an Insta poll.
Yeah, like, is he still drawing royalty money?
What's that?
Is he still drawing royalty money?
Well, that's what I want to know. See, this is the thing. Because there's nothing worse. How will I put it? There was, when we did Bigger Than Jesus, and some of you may have already heard this song, the story about the song. When we did Bigger Than Jesus, there was a song, I shouldn't identify which one, but there was a song that in Bigger Than Jesus that was originally sung by someone who lives in this area. Am I being vague enough?
And he chinned us.
And we, because, you know, for Bigger Than Jesus, we had celebrity sort of sound-alikes. You know, we had a guy that sounded like Robert Plant. We had a guy that sounded like Joey Ramone. Guy, you know, Jerry, who sounded like Ozzy Osbourne. We, though, knew that the guy who sang this pop hit from... this pop hit from the 80s, that he lives here in this area. And we asked him if he wanted to, if rather than using a sound-alike vocalist, if he wanted to be part of the film, if he wanted to sing. And... he was just so incredibly bitter about the song and about its one-hit wonder nature and just his life and, like, trees and nouns of all kinds. He was just so bitter and angry about everything that he didn't want to be part of it at all and basically told us to go get stuffed. And it turns out that the reason he was so bitter about it is not only is it like a one-hit wonder, not only is he tagged as just being that guy, not only is he associated with that song forevermore despite his best attempts to, like, record other material, but because he didn't write the song, he didn't make any money off of it. So he makes like one quarter of 1 cent off every record that is sold. And so I wonder if that's the thing with Dr. Elmo. You know, if Dr. Elmo is a guy who, on the one hand, it's the worst of both worlds, where he's chained to this Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer song that he can never get out from underneath. I mean, that is a shadow that you will never escape all the livelong day. But if, on the other hand, I mean, because I would almost say it's like with the Hugh Grant character in About a Boy, where he's chained to this one hideous Christmas song that he detests that his father wrote, but on the other hand, he's got the steady stream of income with it. I can't imagine that the guy who wrote Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer had enough, like, suction, as they say at the time, that he had enough clout to get any sort of a decent contract out of that. I mean, whoever's making money on that song, you can bet your ass is not that guy. So that's what I want to ask him, but I wonder if he... Here's the nightmare scenario for interviewing the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy. The absolute doomsday scenario for me is if we somehow get him on the show, and then if he's just doing it as, like, you know, hi kids, I'm Dr. Elmo, wah, wah, and there's, like, you know, and he's just being like, and he's just being a tool about it, like if he's in a character or something, you know what I mean? If it's like a whole lot of, you know, hey, Dr. Elmo, Rick Emerson. You know, and it's like, I mean, it would just be...
I love that chat. I don't care what it's for.
I don't even know how I would proceed at that point. I would just have to hang up on him. So...
Oh, but what if he's promoting a new song, and you're forced to listen to all the new material?
Oh, that'd be great. See,
No, give me the reindeer.
See, that would be fantastic. That would almost be worth it if the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy was trying to peddle in, like, his new wares. That would almost, right there, that's gold. See, that's genius.
Grandpa got Roger by the Easter Bunny, something like that.
All right, that's too far. You've gone one step too far.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho. All right. Well, there we go. And I'm down to 57, bitches, because I got everything done yesterday.
That's where you're at. You are at 57.
I'm at 57. So, excellent. And today we'll do the weigh-in later on. Scotty brought this scale, but it's like some weird sharper image scale. It's made out of bendy plastic, and it has like a weird display. It's not a talking scale, which would have been ideal.
A scale where you're weighed in pop culture icons?
Is that true? Is there one of those?
Like, you know, Porkins, the Whopper, King Kong. I'll send you the link.
Is it a real scale that weighs you according to where you are in items?
Yeah, it's made in Britain, so I'll have to find the link, but it weighs you in pop culture items. So yeah, so it's totally, you know, the shark, King Kong, Orkin, Whopper.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron, Geek in the City, Dread. Are you going to call us later about that Chris McGlover thing?
Well, ask Scott about it. He's going to know. He'll be in at one.
Okay, there you go. That's the spirit. That's the can-do spirit that makes geekinthecity.com the empire that it is. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, it is Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Dill, who was just giggling insanely when I came in today about this. Lindsay, do you want to tell the Lindsay Lohan story real quickly that was causing you to giggle when I came in the studio?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so she was at the GQ party the other day, and I guess she saw Jessica Biel, who has her assistant was Lindsay Lohan's old assistant that quit. Lindsay wasn't happy about it. She was asking the grill to be removed through a whole huge tantrum. Nobody wanted to hang out with her. She was drinking champagne. And Will Ferrell turned around and said to a table of people, who even cares about that freak anyway?
How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
You know, and you're right.
If Will Ferrell's calling you a freak, dude, go home.
And you are right that she looks just all glassy-eyed.
She's
and just
insane.
As Bob Dylan would say, that's just a whole lot of vacuum in those eyes. There's there ain't nothing. There's nobody home there. She's going to be dead by the time she's 25. I'm calling it out right now.
I think she'll be dead before that.
Oh, we can only...
She's going, because if she already had an overdose and she's still going strong, chances are, you know, she's going to get it right next time.
Teach me how to die. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Yeah, the Portland City Council unanimously calls on the president to withdraw the troops from Iraq. So now it has to happen. Michael Richards will meet with his four hecklers and may offer them cash. And as you heard, Perez Hilton facing a lawsuit for allegedly publishing pirated paparazzi picture. We know he did it. Of the stars. Lindsay Lohan's people strike back at the media for criticizing the star's writings as alarmingly incoherent, full of misspellings and grammatical errors. Looney Tunes Volume 4, a four-disc set, is released, as is Clerks 2.
Clerks 2,
DVD.
It came out this week, and I meant to buy it, and I didn't get a chance. There's no point in taking me... See, I don't mean to complain about my in-laws, but I was going to...
Get it over with before you get there.
You won't be able to do it for the week. I'm just going to stifle it. I'm going to shove it all down into a festering black ball of hate that lurks within my soul.
That's the way it works, yes.
I was going to buy Clerks 2. But I didn't yet. I'm going to buy it when I get back because I didn't have time to watch it this week because I was just busy trying to get the crap done so I could be out of town this weekend. But on the other hand, and I couldn't bear to buy Clerks 2 and have it sitting there on my shelf unwatched. On the other hand, I can't take it to Utah and watch it with me there because you walk into that house and it's just like... Watching television with Lars' parents is like having oatmeal shoved into your eye sockets. I mean, everything they watch there is just Fox News and Diagnosis Murder, and that's it, man. And Judge Judy, endless, all of the court and the TV. Like, and now look, I'm not anti-television. As I said, I was raised by the TV in many ways, but I just got to tell you that is like many houses filled with old people. The television is on all day long. We've offered to get them the like. I have a spare TiVo sitting in my basement. Like, let me give it to you. I'll give you the TV. You're going to, nah, I don't want to. It seems like a lot of work. You know, that's their response to everything. So you go to that house, and the television is just running 24 hours a day, and all of the worst, like, lowest common denominator daytime programming is blaring away constantly in the background. Anyway, so I was going to have no, because, and they're like, oh, they're all Mormon and whatnot, so I was going to have no chance. And that's the other thing. I'm looking down the barrel of, like, 3 days of no caffeine unless I can get out of the house. And you know me.
Why don't you just bring coffee with you?
Because where am I going to drink it? What am I going to do? Go hide? Run down the street and hide behind the school with the smokers?
You're right. Never mind, because I thought they would have a coffee pot there. But
No!
They don't even have one to make decaf in?
No! They would... Here's who drinks decaf. No one who drinks decaf who was not at one time a coffee drinker. That's the thing. No, nobody just goes from being a non-coffee drinker to drinking decaf. Because, let's be honest. Now, look, I'm a coffee drinker. I love it. I'll tell you, the coffee is one of those things that I have learned to like the taste of. I will admit that. I am not one of those, people that generally learns to like a food. Typically, in my experience, if you have to learn to like something, it's because the thing tastes like ass. And you should just, you know, you're only on this earth for like 80 years. You don't have time to learn to like things. I could learn to like being tased in the face, I suppose, but I choose not to. I choose to spend my time with things I enjoy right away. Coffee, though, is one of those things that I first started drinking simply and solely because of the caffeine. And I've told that story about it. I was in 8th grade and flunking out of school already and had to stay up late to do, like, correspondence work and everything because I was a little bastard. Anyway, so I would drink all this coffee to stay awake. I became addicted to the caffeine, and then eventually I learned to like the taste. But no one just starts for the taste. So there's no one who just goes from being a non-caffeine drinker to having a coffee pod for decaf. The only people who have decaf are people who they can't drink caffeine all the time, or maybe the doctor told them they can't have it at all anymore. Mormon household, you know, this is absolutely true. This sounds like an urban legend, but when you go to BYU, and not even if you just live on campus, if you live off campus, if you are a BYU student of any stripe, whether you live on the campus or live in some apartment miles away, they can conduct spot checks of your apartment. And if they find, and this is absolutely true, if they find anything that is objectionable, like you got your Pam Anderson swimsuit poster on the wall, obviously they find the cigarettes or drugs, and if they find coffee in your apartment, you get like a flogging or whatever it is. They take in, they give you a sitting down, and then they yell at you or whatever. But they will do, I forget what it's BYU approved housing is what they call it. That's what it is. BYU approved housing. Or you have to live by the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is the thing in the Mormon faith says not to drink coffee, blah, blah, blah. Even though it doesn't really say that, they sort of lie and say that's what it says. But they will come, and it totally is like, they'll just come in and like, it's like doing a spot check at Shawshank. It'll just drop into your house and see if there's a coffee pot there. So, no, the upshot is that my in-laws have no coffee. There is nothing. I can't, and I'm either going to have to find it, and you know me that I can't go like 3-4 hours without it. I'm either going to have to find an excuse to duck out of the house, or I'm just going to have to muscle through like an entire day when I get there and followed by another day and another day of no caffeine, which is going to make...
You can't even discuss it with them that you want to go out and get coffee?
Well, I mean, what am I going to say, though? Look, I know I'm a guest in your house.
I like a little bit of the forbidden potion.
That's exactly... Imagine if I said, look, I know I'm a guest in your house and I respect your faith. And I myself...
I would like to commit a marginal sin.
I'd like to commit a venial sin. I am not religious myself, but I respect your faith. I do need some drugs, though. So I'm going to go out back and fire up a blunt. And, I mean, it'll be real. I'll be done in a minute. I mean, it's just not a big deal. I just, you know, there's just no way. It's inconceivable that I could ask them to do it. So maybe I can smuggle some Vizo. Will they let me take Vizo on the plane?
No. Nope, we actually had our visa taken away.
I bet they made that rule up.
Ah! All right.
Make sure you have your quart-sized bag. Not gallon,
I guess
but
your,
quart.
I get your quart-sized bag. Let's break here. Worst flight ever. It's 503-733-2970. Around the corner, Lisa Goddard. Your phone calls. And the big Rick Emerson weigh-in for December 2006. You stay there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Much free time on his hands. Hello. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Sarah Dillon spent last night trying to get into strip clubs and hanging out in graveyards. Details later. 503-733-2970. Scott, did you create a whole series of, is that in the Today folder, Friday?
Ooh, what did he do?
I think he created a whole series of airplane, plane songs. Are they waves? Because they're not showing up. All right, well, I'll check back. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Well, we got these calls about the coffee and stuff. Well, let's do this. Let's welcome Lisa Goddard to the Rick Emerson program first and foremost. Thank you. Lisa Goddard from the Hill. How are you, sister?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys?
We're okay. Let me ask you this. A, I may have already addressed this issue with you, but were you aware that Bob Costantini is referred to as Noodles?
I don't want to take full credit, but I had thought that I was the first to tell you.
You might have actually been. It's so hard to keep track because we've got El Rupe Special Ed Noodles. We're lacking one for you, but I think by trying to come up with a surname, I think we're compensating.
Yeah, you got
for
me
that.
Covered. Right.
So, would you describe Bob Costantini as being a... Sarah, help me out here. Here's the thing.
What am I supposed to help
I'm
you
waiting.
Out with?
I'm waiting. I know.
I'm saying this. I believe that somewhere lurking within Bob Costantini.
Rick is like on this quest to find the inner Bob.
It's not... Okay, let's rephrase.
Lisa, no, let me just ask Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa, So after you know Bob Costantini for a while, does his personality all of a sudden open like a beautiful blooming flower, or is he exactly the same way as he always sounds?
Does he blossom? Does he blossom like a...
I'm going with that's Bob.
You know, I want to tell you, he surprises you. We were talking one day, he starts quoting Death Cab for Cutie.
Bob Costantini, really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Dude, why doesn't he do that for us? We're so good to him.
I believe that lurking within Bob Costantini, like some sort of a journalistic...
small boy.
Like some sort of...
The answer at the end of that sentence.
Like some sort of a journalistic crackerjack prize, I was going to say. I believe that lurking within him is a sparkling wit that only I, Rick Emerson, can really draw out. Although you seem to believe that he is funny at other moments. I believe that there's a certain wry comedy lurking within him that I can extract, but he's just...
like Bob needs saving?
He's I'm just saying deep within him is a man who can be entertaining, and I'm trying to draw that out, but he's resisting. And I believe it's because he's made uncomfortable and awkward feeling by the sometimes irreverent nature of this very fine radio program.
Yes, but therein is that's your in right there, I suspect, to the comedy. But you know, I think you're right. I think he does have a definite sparkle that only you, probably Rick Emerson, could draw it. I mean, anyone that can quote Death Cab for Cutie, especially anyone on the East Coast, come on.
Seriously. Well, I will continue. I'm going to continue to drill deeply, verbally speaking, to try to discover this humor within. But I'll let you know how it goes. It's...
Yeah, let me also, because I'm a big Bob Costantini fan.
No, I celebrate his entire catalog. All right. let me ask you this. I did, speaking of Bob, we touched on this just a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to ask you about this, as Rush Limbaugh would say. So this Iraq study group, which he did clarify that it was in fact a real organization and not like one of those made-up groups that you always hear in public service announcements on radio stations.
It's not one guy with a phone line.
It's, well, because, you know, I get these press releases all the time. The Center for American Studies and the Public Interest of Science and Technology for the Advancement of Family, Faith, and Value. And it's just like some guy with a Hotmail account, you know. But this is, so among the people involved in this, bless you, Sarah, are James Baker III. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes.
And so, what a strange world we're living in now, and how quickly things have changed, that anything that James Baker III was involved in would be classed as a nonpartisan group. what does he do for this group? Where does this group come from? Because they issued this report that I believe is going to the president, saying like we got to get out of Iraq.
Well, that's right. The president will be briefed by the entire group next Wednesday. And just shortly before they release the report to the public. And the reason it's called bipartisan is that it has five Democrats and five Republicans. Now, the Democrats, both sides run the spectrum. There are some Democrats who are known for being very liberal. There are some Republicans who are known for being very conservative. Now, Howard Baker has the advantage of having worked for the first President Bush, that he's not seen quite as conservative and as some of the people working for this President Bush. So basically, he's one of the co-chairmen of that study group, along with Lee Hamilton, former congressman of Indiana, and Lee Hamilton headed up the 9/11 Commission. And so those two men are the ones directing this whole effort for this group.
It says here that the one source says the media, quote, may have raised expectations too high, end quote, by reporting that Baker would formulate a plan to solve the crisis. Am I just being too binary about this? Am I being too black and white when it seems to me that it's like we're either just going to stay ad infinitum or we're just going to pack up our crap and get out? I mean, I don't mean to try to be boiling things down to an artificially simple solution, but it doesn't really seem like there is a whole lot. It seems like we are in the gray area now. It seems like any solution is just we got to pick one road or the other. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, I think that's what people were hoping this group was going to do, that they would get these folks all in one room. And even though there are a lot of partisan voices there, you know, Vernon Jordan, for example, well known for his support of Bill Clinton, well known as a Democrat, those guys, these are all people who have some stature and who are thought of as being intellectuals, who could get past the politics. And there was a hope that this group could still pick one road or the other, pull out or send more, something substantial, something very different from what we're doing now, and that these guys would have really the cojones to do it, to lack another word. But the fact is that even amongst themselves, they couldn't agree on either of those paths, and so they took the middle road, which is a lot like what we're doing now, which is a lot like a big gray area, and there's nothing really quite defined, but it would be good if we could get out, and it would be good if the Iraqis could take over, and that's sort of where we are.
You know, this is sort of like, this whole thing with Iraq, it reminds me of when you're living with a girl, and it's like you don't really, I mean, you know you ought to move out, but it's like you're kind of hoping that she'll move out first, and it's like...
Is that how that works?
Yeah, and just like you're sitting there, and you go home, and you kind of walk in the front door, and you kind of go... And you're sort of there, and you know the odds are like 1 in 3 that you're going to have a stupid fight about something, and then somebody's going to yell, and then a dish is going to get broken. But by the same token, it's like you're not quite motivated enough to pack your stuff and leave because you're not quite sure where you'd want to go, and you don't want to have to move back in with your crazy brother, which is where you lived before, and that was no good.
Right.
And by the same token, you know, her name is on the lease as well, so it's like you can't just kick her out, but she doesn't want to leave because she put down half the deposit, and you don't have the money to give it to her. Meanwhile, your CD collections are all intermingled, and it's like you just go to sleep every morning, as Sam Kinison once said, you go to sleep every morning just praying that you will wake up. You go to sleep at night, praying that when you wake up, there will be a note on the pillow just saying, I understand everything and I'm gone. I've taken all my things with me. You'll never see me again. And that's it. But it never happens. And that's kind of where we are with Iraq. Like, it seems,
right.
I don't mean to be cynical, but it seems like George Bush just puts it off every day like a bad tooth infection, just hoping it'll all kind of clear up.
You know, that is not too far off, I think, from where they are. It's not in anyone party's interest to solve this thing enough. No one rises to the level that they can do enough to really solve this problem on their own. Everyone has to stay to some degree right now. How this is happening while the Prime Minister of Iraq, meanwhile, his government is almost on the verge of collapse. He really has to fight. These next 3 or 4 days, next week, are going to be critical for this particular Iraqi government to see if it even survives. So... Yeah, it's really tough. Now, on the other hand, I do want to say with this Iraq study group, I think they're playing the game in reverse now. Expectations were high. Now they're lowering expectations, maybe playing a little bit of the George Bush game here, lowering them so low that when the report does come out next Wednesday, maybe we'll be surprised that it has a few specifics. I don't expect a lot, but it may. I think it's going to have a little more substance than the highlights that are being leaked.
Really, I think it's impossible at this point to lower expectations anymore, at least for the American. But the only thing they could do now to make this even worse, it would surprise me, is if they just went to my bank and just cleared out my personal account to pay for something over there. I mean, that's it. There's nothing else they could do at this point that would surprise the American public in terms of just the generally dim view of how this is. Gun unfold. Before you go, I want to ask you just one off-topic follow-up question. Did you look into this business of Keith Ellison, who's the first Muslim elected to Congress?
We talked about
him swearing it on a Quran.
Yeah, I'm letting you down on this one because they took yesterday off, and apparently there was a phone call for me. I missed their callback, so I'm still checking into it whether or not he will be sworn in on a Quran or whether he'd like that preference.
It's okay. I was going to bring it up with Bob Costantini, but I felt that was going to be sort of a Lisa Goddard exclusive.
Oh, see, I put the call. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm letting you down.
No. It's okay. It's all right. Rick Emerson understands that you lead a busy life.
It's busy, darling. So busy.
All right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend, sister. We will talk to you sometime in the very near future.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Fantastic. She feels like she let me down, but she really shouldn't beat herself up over it. It's okay. Rick Emerson understands.
I still don't have faith in Bob. For the record.
Just for like you want that out there. On the public. You want that on the public book.
Because it's painful for everyone to listen to.
Yeah, that's true.
It is.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do?
I mean, I admire your spunk about it.
I gave him an edit of the theme. Can you bring this up? It's A. Bob. Can you bring that up somehow? It's in effects. It'll be in the effects tab, I think. I just loaded. It's not going to be level corrected, so it's going to be a little loud. I just dropped it in this morning because I thought we were going to have Bob Costantini this morning. So I got it. I just created it. Listen to the. It's going to be a little volumey. This is the news with Bob Costantini. Go to all this trouble.
He doesn't deserve an intro that big.
You are like you're all the you're the girl telling me to dump the other guy.
Yeah, you take all this time to do it, and then he'll just be like, oh well, hello Rick.
Hello Rick.
Oh well, yeah, it's really cold here today. I like this camp for cutie.
I'm hip. You're a stop. You've taken it too far. You're a bad person.
I think we should do an Insta poll and see whether or not people like Bob Costantino.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Why?
Because what if he gets back to him and he thinks people don't like
him? I'm not
him?
Being... But I'm saying some people are right for the show, some people are not.
You can't...
It makes everyone uncomfortable.
You can't... Okay. Here's the thing. Don't call yet. Because I know you bastards are picking up the phone. Just wait a second. I don't think you can do an Insta poll about whether people like Bob Costantino.
Okay, whether or not they think he's good on the good for the show.
I would suggest this. Because what if we did an Insta poll saying, like, do people like Scotty J? I mean, come on, we all know how that'd go. And they love him, clearly.
Who doesn't
but I'm
love
saying,
Scotty
what if
J?
They didn't? I think we can do this. What if we could do an Insta poll to suss out the realism of your estimation that it makes people uncomfortable?
Okay.
In other words, not asking if he's good, because that's a relative state.
It is. I mean, he's very knowledgeable on what he speaks about.
He's very punctual. We could, you're totally reaching for the compliments, too. He does have precise grammar. So we could do this. We could do a, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable when we bring him on the show? Are you made uncomfortable by the Bob Costantini segments?
Okay, that's good.
All right, well, I gotta get rid of, by which I mean answer, in an appreciative fashion, this call really quickly.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have friends who have Viso in Salt Lake City?
No, I'm saying I know a guy who knows a guy who'd be willing to take a shipment of Viso down in Salt Lake City. How much would it be worth to you, and how much do you want?
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
All right, there you go.
All right, so we're going to do this Insta poll.
Should I play the one...
Do we have? Don't we ever? What would ever happen to that? Let's go to the phones. Oh wait, you know what?
We
I can do?
We haven't had that in like 2 years.
No, hold on. I can find this here. Hold on a second. I have Insta poll music. Wait, give me just 1 second here.
Okay.
La la la. Did I put this in the Friday folder? I know that this is a long way to go just to find a stupid.
Better
thing
be good.
Here. Oh, just hold on. I'm. Well, now I don't even know where it went. No, I was gonna use the.
Can I play the newest pile thing?
Play it for now. Play it. Thank you. Play it as I'm trying to find the. Oh, here we go. All right, you can go ahead and fade out of that. I'll go ahead and do this. This will be our Bob Costantini instant poll. There you go.
Oh, that's perfect.
See, Rick Emerson knows what he's doing.
I hate it when you reference yourself in the third person.
Rick Emerson doesn't mind. It's we'll do an Insta poll here. The question is, does Bob Costantini and his segments, and segments I don't mean, that's not code for, I'm made uncomfortable.
You know, and
segments.
I could be completely wrong. It could just be me.
The question is, are you made uncomfortable by Bob Costantini's appearances on this program? That is the question. We are now going to go to the phones, Insta poll stuff. Hey. And somebody's got to be keeping track. Can you track these? Okay.
Yeah.
The question is, yes or no, are you made uncomfortable by Bob Costantini's appearances on this very fine radio program? We'll just take these. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Bob is so gone, you have to build a time machine to get back to him. Gone, gone, gone.
Is that a yes?
All right, sir. No, you can't. That is neither a
that
yes or no.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
He has no soul. I'm sorry. No, he has a soul. I'm sorry. Everyone has a soul, but he has no... He doesn't resonate with the show at all. He doesn't grasp. He doesn't grok the show.
That's
right.
A yes.
Yeah.
One for yes.
Okay, yeah. You've made the
point.
Did I make myself clear?
You've made the point. Thank you.
Sir.
All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Does Bob Costantini's appearance on the show make you uncomfortable?
Hi, Rick. Yes, I'll have to go along with a previous caller. Yes, he does.
What makes you uncomfortable about Bob Costantini?
Do you want
to get... He doesn't add anything to the show. He doesn't bring in anything that, you know, to spice it up.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Rick Emerson Show. Does Bob Costantini's appearance on this program make you uncomfortable?
No. I like Bob. I always have.
What do you like about Bob Costantini, sir?
Yeah, I think he adds a dry little bit of spice.
Are you just saying this because you don't want it to be like a one-sided vote?
No. I told the screener I love Bob. I like it when he appears, and I think he doesn't make me uncomfortable at all.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You're a good person. There you go. That's Matt.
Got it.
Thank you. Rick Emerson Show, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable when he's on this program?
I'd rather listen to Jolie.
Oh, that's too far.
Oh,
you've gone
Jolie.
Over the... Is this Rob?
Yeah.
You've gone
Rob!
Over the house of Rick.
Come on,
I thought we were
going to
have beers.
You were gone. Now, see, Sarah, you were gone when Rob... People who are maybe new school listeners of the show, Rob is calling from the house of Rick.
Rob, I miss you.
Doesn't call.
Well, let's get together.
Okay.
Actually has been gone from the program so long we don't even have his sounder handy. He called last week, though, during the holiday.
Oh.
And he's living fat, man. He's got the fat life going on. He's all living high style and swank. So
the rub, he makes me uncomfortable.
So you're buying drinks next time.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
It's not really uncomfortable. He doesn't want to play along.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. This is Kevin. Kevin, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
No.
All right. Thank you. Do you like Bob Costantini? Do you feel he adds to the show?
I say, Rick Emerson, keep your friends new and old. One is silver and the other gold. Hold on to Bob. I'm out.
That's the Girl Scout thing.
Thank you. Really? Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
No, I think he's great.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
We're evenly matched.
We'll do like five more. Rick Emerson Show, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
Not at all. I think he's just got a dry wit.
A dry wit?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Yeah. Dry wit. Rick Emerson Show Instapoll, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable? Hello. And going
on. I was going to say that was a yes.
Rick Emerson Show Instapoll, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
No, I love Bob.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Hey, and Rick.
Yeah.
I have a cure for your coffee dilemma.
Okay.
They're called Folgers Singles. They're little tea bags full of coffee.
I have some of those at home. Lara takes them when she camps. The problem is I'm just going to have to brew them when nobody's looking and then find a secret place in the house where no one can find me to drink them.
Just cut off the little paper tabs that say Folgers and tell everybody they're tea.
Well, I guess I could claim it's like a decaf tea. I could claim it's like a chamomile or some retarded thing. All right, that's a good idea. All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to Utah this weekend. Hello, Rick Emerson, Instapoll. Does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like getting a back rub from Grandma. Just a little creepy.
Okay.
Rick, this is Dirtbag Dave from the documentary.
Oh, hello, Dirtbag
Dave. How are
you,
buddy?
Hello, sir. How are you?
You know, I'm just ducky.
You are indeed ducky.
I try.
All right, my friend, go with God.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you go. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson, Instapoll. Does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
He does not make me uncomfortable.
Do you feel he adds to the program?
Well, it doesn't add in any particular way. He hates you, and it's really funny to listen to him, like, have to talk to you. It's really funny.
That sounds like a no vote to me. All right, thank you.
Excellent. All right.
All right. Oh, and of course, Dennis has crept onto the line. Okay, we'll get him. He'll be the final vote, but let's get the... Scotty, I'll take this line here that I'm on, and then I'll get Dennis, and that'll be it. Rick Emerson Instapoll, does Bob Costantini make you uncomfortable?
Yes, but I think you make him more uncomfortable, and that's the fun of it. I think one of these days he's just going to, like, just throw down and just say, I'm tired of the show, I'm out of here.
So I
do not like him. I think he's boring, but I think it clashes so well that you can hear him so... shifting in his chair, not wanting to be on your show.
I'm so unclear about where you come down. Now, if it were up to you, would his presence on this program end or be continued?
Be continued, but I think you need to put more pressure on him and try to just make him as uncomfortable as you possibly can.
Okay.
Ask him a lot of personal questions.
It's going to be job. All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. All right, and the final, we'll take the final vote here in the Instapoll, our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. I can only say that that's the whole fun of when you interview him, is that you have to continue until you can make him crack. Once you crack that egg, you got to go make the omelet and throw it out.
I don't even understand what you're talking about. So what you're saying is I'm cracking some eggs and then making an omelet?
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, when Bob comes on the show, the fact that I know you're trying to crack into his personal side, that's what makes it entertaining. Once you've cracked, if all of a sudden he started sharing, you know, bedtime stories about grandma and, you know, good times with his family when he was a kid, then you toss him.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so we'll say that a keep Bob vote.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase the entire thing. Keep Bob. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Dennis Pitzenbarger. You'll show tomorrow, 9 to 11. All right, where are we?
We're tied.
Really? Did you construct it that way?
No, there's one more no vote.
Okay.
So the consensus is that he doesn't really add anything.
He adds essence of Bob.
He does. He makes everyone... It's very awkward to listen to because he's obviously seething with anger every time he has to be on the show.
Fantastic.
Which I guess does make it good.
Seriously, well, who can ask for more than that? All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Costantini, Seeds with Anger, with every moment.
And that's
that he
how
has
you
to
kill 20 minutes on the radio.
Fantastic. One segment done. Back after this with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, for the new news hour. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.